There's just a few things I wanted to cover today that I think are pretty critical, and I'm going to give a caveat as we step into this. The big idea is there's these spiritual things that happen in the Scripture. The Old Testament is filled with blessings and curses. These things that come on with power and have to be broken. Now, we don't tend to be on the very extreme edge of the spiritual charismatic effect. I don't. We're not cessationists as a group, but that isn't something you would tend to look for. Is what is going on in the spiritual realm, or ascribe to what's going on automatically? Oh, that must be the devil, or that must be a demon. I don't hear many of you going, you know, I spent too much of my credit card. That darn shopping demon got me again. We just don't think that way typically. Now you may, but that's okay. But we tend to acknowledge it. But I don't know if we pay as much attention at times of how deeply the spiritual is just bumping up against our physical world. And I think that can be a naivety. And so one of the things we'd love for us to do, we have one tool that we're going to get to. It's Steps to Freedom from Neil Anderson. It's posted on our website. I'll show you where it is on the link. But it's just a way to process through some of the things that may be pressing on us in a spiritual way and having a negative effect on our life, on our souls, on our experiences. And so often we are looking for physical reasons for things. We want a person to blame, or a dietary thing to blame, or a financial thing to blame, or a political thing to blame. And sometimes I think we just need to consider, and that's all I'm asking us to do, is there something spiritual going on that God would maybe want to grant freedom from, or give us a way out of and lead us out of? Please do not hear today, I'm saying, oh, if you have a physical challenge, you've done something spiritually wrong. That's not what I'm saying. But it could be, if you struggle with joy or discouragement, that there could be something you've not let go of, or a discipline of praise that you haven't put in your life that's making it much harder for you to experience the fullness of the joy of the Lord. Just to consider that. I don't want to blame it or say, oh, it's your fault. You did something wrong. Or it's your father. It's the curse of your father. That's why you're all messed up, or your life is hard. No. But I think there can be things that we've allowed in our past, either overtly or by accident, that may be shaping what's going on in our life. And so when we think about being soldiers, there's a verse that, or a slide that Nathan was using. There's a diligence. When we have this understanding that we are in a war, we do have an enemy, we have responsibility. If we're not aware of these things, we can be taken by surprise. And like if something unusual were happening, if bullets are flying by you and you're on the front lines of a war, the one thing you're not is surprised, okay? What? Why are they shooting at us? As you're sitting here on the front line of a war with a gun in your hand. You're not confused in that way. Does that make sense? But sometimes we can be. Something hard happens, and we go, well, why? What's going on? Soldiers, which there's an element of that. I don't want to appeal too much to the militaristic idea, but there is this picture of a battle in front. And we do have enemies in this section of Scripture in Ephesians 6. That's what it's talking about. These are our weapons to fight this battle. And it's not against each other or a different political party or a different country. It is the spiritual forces that are attacking us. So, soldiers train. Soldiers know how to use their weapons. They don't neglect them. If you don't think you're ever going to have to cut something, you don't pay attention to keeping your knife sharp. Those who have to fire their weapons, clean them, manage them really, really well, because their life depends on them. That's what this scripture is telling us in Ephesians 6. Your vitality, your flourishing, your faith depends on how you handle these weapons. If we don't do it, so soldiers work together. They're not independent. Soldiers pursue victory. And here was the other slide they put together, just the belt of truth. And I think there is really good imagery here. Some of the more not direct interpretation, but interpolation, extrapolation of some of these, the Message or New Living Translation, they just list truth and spirit and righteousness, and that's true. That's the ultimate essence of it, but I do think there's a poetic picture that Paul's trying to paint here that can be helpful. And there is some sense of that, you know, the big thing we have to keep in mind is who we are. We have salvation, we have a new identity that flows into our life. And so being aware of the armor of God, and part of that is not being surprised if the devil does what he said he was going to do, which is attack you. And he's going to try to destroy you. There's a couple things, not that I want to honor evil, but I have to acknowledge the devil is not stupid and the devil is not lazy. He is very diligent. He cannot create. There's a lot of things he cannot do. But he knows how to use the weapons he has, the father of lies, and how to attack and how to discourage. And he is relentless. Never gets bored, never gets tired, never gets distracted of hating the people of God and destroying what God is trying to build. Those are two virtues that we have to be aware of. So when we think about what holds us down, these spiritual outcomes, can we consider, are some of these things spiritual? I don't want to over-spiritualize. I don't want to see a demon in every bush. I think it's a silly way of thinking. There are causes and effects of life. It's just, that's what happens. You sow this, you reap this. The scriptures are clear. Book of Proverbs is filled with those things. But if there's something that's hard for you to understand, or there's like this besetting thing going on, or you've wanted to move to a different place over and over and over again, and you found difficulty in it, it could be something spiritual is going on. And in this spiritual kingdom, it's always true that it's this upside down thing. And just a quick review again. We live differently. This is what we're called to be. The last or first. Well, I want to be on top. Well, then you don't want to be in the kingdom. You're thinking wrong. The last or first. You want to be great? Be the servant of all. Put yourself under. The lowest will be exalted. The poor are esteemed. The fools for Christ. That doesn't mean go out and actually be foolish, but choose foolish things according to the wisdom of the world. That's the way the kingdom is built. The enemies are future family members. We need to understand that. The people in this world, maybe political adversaries or people who have hurt you or flip you off in traffic, wherever it is, those may well be your future brothers and sisters that you're going to spend eternity with. They are not the enemy. They are not the enemy. Trials can be, should be, worked towards being pure joy. When we have the right perspective on the difficulties in our life, we see an outcome that God is trying to produce. Rather than disdain it, you say, Lord, I don't like it, but I choose to have joy that you are working with me as a disciple. And pain, just by the way, pain can come from a lot of sources. It can come from persecution, the devil or others in the world persecuting us. It can be the Lord's discipline, where he's trying to correct us and moving us to a different place. It can be a trial, which is different than discipline. That's this God-ordained thing. Like, you're going to do five sets of 210, and it's going to hurt. But it's not punishment. It's to make you stronger. That's what a trial is for. It's God's customized training for you to grow. And then there's the suffering of just living in a fallen world. Sometimes it falls on us. And then there could be these curses, some of these bondage things, some of the power of the enemy bearing fruit in our life. And again, it's not anybody that says they see this super clearly and everything's clear, I would challenge them. It's a little fuzzier than that. I think we need to be a little more humble in saying, I don't know how this works exactly, but there's something there. And it goes from the beginning of the scriptures to the end, that we have an enemy and there are consequences to how we live. This is another verse that Nathan shared, but I love the picture of this because it's, oh, no, those demon things, that's not real. Well, this is such an interesting story. They're trying to cast out an evil spirit, and they say, Jesus I know, Paul I recognize, but who are you? Oh. So maybe there's a skill or an understanding or something, some way to access the power of God that isn't just automatic, that we're 10 foot tall and bulletproof because we have the Holy Spirit. Maybe we're still at risk and we need to manage well and pay attention and be careful with what is going on in the spiritual arena. Reading this again, We do not wrestle against flesh and blood. The flesh and blood is not the enemy. There are rulers, there are authorities, there are cosmic powers. There is a present darkness. There is a spiritual force of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, understand you are on the front line. Wherever you are on this battlefield. If you said, I want to follow Jesus, you are the enemy. And if you said, I believe in Jesus, but I'm not going to follow, I'm not going to obey, I'm not going to be a disciple, you're not safe either. But for sure, if you say, I'm going to own the kingdom of God, I'm going to be a fool for Christ, you become an active enemy of all of these. The rulers, authorities, cosmic powers, present darkness, forces of evil. You've declared you are no longer Switzerland. We're going to stay out of this. No, no, no. You're in. And the devil wants to destroy you and harm you. Okay. I wanted to just review this, John 8:44, the father of lies. That's the primary weapon. But there are things that we do that grant him authority to speak those things. It seems to me, that's what I would sense and understand, is there are choices we can make or choices we can fail to make that grant the devil a place, grant evil a greater foothold, a greater stronghold than if we didn't make those choices. That's what I understand. One of these is huge in our culture. There is somehow a curse associated with sexual, physical sin. There's something that happens that is more permanent than you ate too much chocolate. There's something that happens to our body, to our psyche, and I believe there's a bond formed, and I think they can track that now even on why when people have a physical relationship, it releases chemicals that form this deep bond within our members. And it's designed by God to do that. But when we do it outside of marriage, we may have these bonds formed with people that are not our mate, and it's not an appropriate expression of that. Or it becomes so casual that it no longer has any impact, and those chemicals no longer have their desired effect. And when it's time to bond with a person that we're intended by God and blessed by God and ordained by God to bond with, we no longer have the capacity to do it. And those are real things. We can damage our physical bodies, and they no longer work as God designed them because we've used them inappropriately, or we failed to use them as he's asked us to. And those are lasting effects. There are ways through that. Some of them are physical. Sometimes there's things. The idea in this is when we, in any addiction, this is my understanding. Again, I've not read every book and every person's ever had an addiction, but one of the most common things you will hear is they lose the capacity for empathy. That muscle to feel or care about someone else is snipped. You are born with a gigantic empathy muscle. Little kids are just looking around, who can I connect with? Who's here? Oh, where can I find somebody that loves me and likes me and wants to be a friend? They're all golden retrievers when they're in that mode. Now, if their pants are wet, they're not so much. But when they're in that mode, they're looking for connection. That gets snipped and it's broken, and it takes time to regrow it. Some of that can be maybe a physical chemical thing that's going on. The capacity to release the right hormones has been damaged. Some of it may be spiritual, an affection. You've claimed an idol. You've declared something greater than, and so your capacity to honor the Lord fully has been damaged spiritually. You've given your affection to something else. Does that make sense? So these are all things you just consider. If you're having trouble in an area of your life, something keeps beating on you, maybe there are things, and the tool we're going to introduce here in a second, I would consider this discipleship 102. Like, get your assurance down. Make sure you know who you are. Memorize a few verses on that. Learn to communicate and pray with God. Be around people who know you and want to love you, and they go, okay, now start making sure there's nothing you're dragging into this new life with God that is going to drag you down. Start casting off the old things, the old ways, and start dialing in. And some of those old ways and old things have spiritual consequences. again, it's not as clear as we would like it. It's just not that clear scripturally. But the Bible is filled with blessings, curses, spiritual consequences that go on, okay? Just a couple other New Testament ideas of where you see this revealed in general ways. Whoever therefore eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty concerning the body and blood of the Lord. Now, does this mean you lose your salvation? That now you have a sin that can't be? No. Listen to what happens. There's a consequence. And it's not losing your salvation. There's a discipline. There's something that happens. Let a person examine himself then, and so eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment on himself. Saying, if I do this badly, God is going to discipline me. There's going to be a judgment on me. This is why many of you are weak and ill. Some have even died. I know there's lots of stuff, and I don't know if it's our food supply. I don't know if it's genetic entropy. I don't know why we have so many stomach and gut and food nutritional challenges. I don't know why. I'm just saying it may not always be nutrition. Check your, have a better diet. Be wise. Take care of yourself. But maybe you're not being very serious and you're becoming ill. Depression, one of the leading causes of depression, they're studying these things, is a critical spirit. By being a grumbler and a complainer, you talk yourself. You know what's true about depression? It is a physical thing. It's the only thing right now, clinically, they've proven as a psychosomatic. Because I think something, I start to have physiological effects. The psychosomatic, where people imagine they have symptoms, depression, they're not imagining it. They actually have physical symptoms, and they auger themselves in through having a critical spirit. We need to be wise that these things are consequences. A joyful heart is good medicine, but a broken spirit dries up the bones. There's a physiological effect to some of these choices and how we live. Above all, my brothers, do not swear either by heaven or by earth or any other oath. Let your yes be yes and your no, no, so that you may not fall under condemnation. There's a cost to making oaths. The most dangerous oaths you can make, in my opinion, are those you say that limit or keep you from walking fully in what God would call you to. I'm never going to take a risk again. I'm never going to put myself in a position to be hurt again. I'm going to protect myself at all costs. And we begin to shut down. And those are oaths that start to cut us off from all the good things that God has for us. Now there are good oaths. Marriage oaths are good oaths. Oaths to follow the Lord, those are good oaths. There's good things you can do. But the idea that, you know, I'm going to declare something in God's name or whoever's name, that's a spiritually dangerous thing. As you start to examine your inner world through various tools, some of those oaths, some of those vows bubble up. And they can have a really negative effect on your spirit. So being careful with those things. James 5:13, is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing praise. Is anyone among you sick? Let's call for the elders of the church and let them pray over you, anointing with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. Well, so maybe there's things that we're doing in our sin that are creating a physiological consequence. This is not clear, and I'm not encouraging you to look for a demon behind every bush again. But shouldn't we at least consider some of the things that we're experiencing that are difficult are because we are in a spiritual war? Rather say it's the opposing political party's fault, or whoever's in charge fault, or my diet, or my upbringing, or my mother, or the boogeyman, whatever it is. We're always looking for something to blame, and sometimes it may be we're just not being very sober about God's call for us to be a holy set aside people. There is a physiological effect to being casual about our sin in the spiritual world. This is one we see maybe more than personally that I've seen more than any other, Therefore, having put away falsehood, let each of you speak the truth to his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be angry. We're not going to go super deep into this. This is the verb form of anger. It's an arousal of passion. It's something you can't help. It's like it just happens to you. It's an action. Your body, it's just like an amygdala chemical reaction, and it produces an emotion in you. You don't make a choice. That emotion will go away if you just breathe through it. If you don't cultivate it, if you don't ruminate on it, if you don't try to dig in on it, that will pass in about 20 to 30 minutes. That kind of anger does not hang around. The second you say, yeah, yeah, and another thing, yeah, I deserve to be angry, you're crossing from the verb form into the noun form, which is always condemned, because it becomes a possessive weapon/tool that we use for purpose. That kind of anger has a curse. And this is New Testament. If you hold on to it, you don't let go of that, you give an opportunity to the devil. Some scriptures say a foothold. You give voice. You hand him the microphone in your soul and give him a place. Now, you don't actively choose to do that, but that's what happens. So he's just chirping, 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 chirping. Yeah, you deserve to be angry. And you work yourself into this place. That anger leads to bitterness in you. And destroying other relationships and other people. That's what's going on there. The Lord's servant must not be quarrelsome, but kind to everyone, able to teach. As we meditate on the truth, this is the gateway out of escaping from the snare of the devil. There are snares, there are traps in your life where he's waiting for you to make a choice or turn a direction where he can grab you and go, I got you. That could be an affection, that could be an addiction, that could be an idol, that could be anger, that could be unforgiveness, that could be laziness. That's you saying, I deserve something. I have a right. That could be a snare of the devil. You have no rights. Now, we in our constitution, you have rights. But before the spiritual world, you have no rights. I have no rights. They're only granted. Anything I have is granted to you by God or the people I live with to say, here, we will allow this. I cannot demand anything. And those become the snares. Now, I learned a new word this week. Cosmology is the study of the origin, development, structure, history, and future of the entire universe. This is a secular word. This is the grain of the universe, cosmology. When you're thinking about what is the spiritual reality around me, what things can I do or not do that will either aid in me flourishing in the spiritual world or start to hinder me, those warnings seem to be important things to pay attention to. If you reduce it down, this is, the book of Proverbs is cosmology related to spiritual things and your character. That's what it is. It doesn't describe everything, like the whole universe, but in terms of human relationships, character, etc., the cosmology is the book of Proverbs. And it describes the way things work. What we're talking about today is in the heavenlies, in your spiritual state of being, the health of your soul and how you can live and cooperate with God, that part, that's what we're looking at today, is the cosmology of what it means to understand that the spiritual is not that far from the physical. And because of our emphasis, for me and most of my Christian history, it's easy to think it is all physical. It is all, you know, truth-based and belief-based. It is all truth-based. I'm sorry. It's all like matter of fact, what you can see and touch and not be aware. When I'm going through a difficulty, I so appreciate it when one of my more charismatic leaning brothers remind me, you know, you might be just being opposed. Because I want to self-blame. I want to dig out of the hole on my own. I go, oh, thank you. Yeah, maybe I am just being opposed. Maybe there's a battle here that I need to fight on a different front than me just working harder or faster. Maybe I do have an enemy that I need to choose to resist in a different way. It's the way things work, the physical versus the spiritual. Okay, so this tool, this is what we'd love to get to. We'd love for you to be familiar with it, walk through it with a friend, do it yourself. It's better, I think, to do it with someone just for accountability, just like walking through TPM, learning TPM. I still much prefer someone to walk me through it. I know where I am on the map, but it's just so helpful to have someone help me. And this is a, these are some of the battles that he lays out. By the way, just let me caveat this. This is not probably not the best resource in the world. It's the best one we found to have a very general overview of saying, am I paying attention to these? Am I breaking these bonds? There's a couple things that he says I do not believe, or at least I don't think you can prove. I think they would be biblical, extra-biblical statements. In fact, I think he says it in this one. There's a longer book that you can buy. I think it's $7 or $8. You can order it, and you can write it down in there. This, we post this on our website. Let me show you that. It's right there under resources page, Steps to Freedom, Neil Anderson. You can download it. It's just a PDF, right? And you can walk through. It's a little shorter version than the booklet, but it's the essence of it is all there. When we think about this, what I want you to understand is He'll say this: the devil can't hear your thoughts, so you have to say it out loud. I don't know if I can prove or disprove that statement, so I would never say it quite that strongly. But what I would say very strongly is you will concentrate and stay focused much better if you work these things through out loud. Because you can stay out of the silent prayer pitfall of anxiety, worry, boredom, thinking about your fantasy football team, okay? By saying it out loud, it helps you focus. Now, it may be true that the devil cannot read your mind and you really need to do it, but I would encourage you to do it. Even if that's not true, it will really help you focus. There are also things he says that you can choose to believe something. Well, if you know anything about me, I don't think you can choose to believe, but you can. You have to be persuaded. Some authority has to bring that to you. That can be somehow the Spirit anoints any what I'm saying, or a friend shares a verse with you, or a good song. But it has to flow from outside. You can't just say, "I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it." That doesn't work that way. I'm going to change what I believe when I don't really believe it. And he'll say some things pretty strongly. Choose to believe this. I would just say, make it a declaration. Make it a statement over your life. You can't choose to replace lies with truth, but you can choose to meditate on what's true and let the Spirit drive that into you. And so when you hear those little phrases, don't go, "Oh, that's ridiculous." Well, the basic premise is really good, and it's really strong. And it's a way to reflect and think through your past. Now, I remember a friend of mine, the guy that led me to the Lord 40 years ago, he was with the Navigators, and they had this a similar tool where they would every young convert, they would walk them through where have you had physical relationships that you need to apologize for, like on making amends in the 12-step program. There was this: I'm going to own this. I don't want any power of anything in my past to hinder my growth or development. And so there's something spiritual about that. Not that you're doing penance. You're not paying for it. But you're making a clean break. You're acknowledging that was hurtful to you. That was harmful to you. And I'm going to put it aside, and I'm going to condemn it. I'm going to agree with what the Bible says here. And it really does break some of the power of those things. So there's deception for truth. We're all prone to be deceived. That's why the father of lies uses lies, because it's effective. And so we have to keep coming back to the truth. There's bitterness versus forgiveness. Church, I'm telling you, this is such a big deal to what's going on in your life. If you're holding on to bitterness and unforgiveness, it's not going to hurt anybody else, I promise you. But it will really, really hurt you. It's so close to anger. Forgiveness, unforgiveness and hanging on to anger, they're just so closely linked. They're not exactly the same, but they're really tied together quite often. If we can't forgive, we're probably walking in anger. Rebellion versus submission. Are you yielded? Are you saying, I deserve the right? I get to vote how I want. Not politically, I'm saying, I get to cast my vote for what I want to do today. I'm not under submission. Pride versus humility. So many warnings about the prideful person. Well, what are areas where you're, so the way the book walks through this, and then curses, bondage versus freedom, curses versus blessings. I'm going to just give you a few examples of what you'll see in this book. Ways that you can deceive yourself. And these are New Testament warnings. Pay attention here. This is not mumbo jumbo silly. These are biblical warnings. You hear God's word, but you don't want to do what it says. Oh, that actually leads to a physiological mental delusion. That's what the word means. You can no longer think rightly. You actually delude yourself, saying you have no sin. There's a pride in that. There's a curse in that. Thinking you're something when you're really not. Thinking you're wise in this world's age. Thinking more highly of yourself than you ought. There's warnings of that. Thinking you can be truly religious, but not bridle your tongue. That you're a mature person, but you have a cutting tongue. You don't speak uplifting words. There's a spiritual disconnect in that that's really dangerous for you. A couple more here. Spiritualism or witchcraft. But if you are led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now, the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery. So one of the things they walk through is what areas of your life, maybe if you've dabbled in a Ouija board or a cult kind of game. So I'm not judging. I get creeped out by some of the board games I see people playing. I don't know. They creep me out. I don't want to go near them. There's towns I go into that creep me out. I go, there's something going on here. This is dark. We planted a church in Iowa City. That's the way I felt every time I came back into town. Just dark. Felt dark. We moved to Manhattan, Kansas, go like, oh, this feels very, very Wizard of Oz-ish. This is nice. I must be in Kansas. Iowa City happens to be the homosexual capital of the world and the abortion capital of the world per capita. It is a dark place. Nathan, I had never seen that or considered that how much money is being spent on Halloween. I just love the purity. Little 3-year-old granddaughter. She loves going to Sam's Club with Mimi. And they have this whole routine, and it's just going to imprint her. She's going to be so OCD. I just know she is. But she's got to do these same things over and over again. She will not go in because she's terrified of the skeletons and the mean stuff. You know, God bless you, little girl. And people are telling my daughter, oh, she'll get used to it. No, 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 no. Please don't ever get used to that. Oh, it'll be fine in a little while. Oh, please stay where you, that bothers your soul to see death and evil and darkness. Hang on to that. All right. So the way this rolls through in the book, basically, is you're called to reflect, meditate on, and build lists, and then denounce these things. And I think it's a really good exercise. I'm just going to tell you one example of mine from bondage versus freedom. My first exposure to pornography, I may have shared this story a different time. My first exposure to pornography, I was probably about 10 years old, maybe 10 and a half years old. And it was nothing like there is now, but it was a graphic picture. And I still remember where I was when I saw it. But that was one of the things the Lord brought to mind. Just denouncing those connections with sexual sin, with physical sin. And I walked through those, and I made a long list of all the things and all the people and all the images and everything I could possibly imagine. As after I walked through this, so what was weird about that is that picture particular, I've been exposed to a lot, but that picture in particular would just show up at the weirdest times. And it's just like, just this flash of, what? I'm playing poker. Why? What are you doing? Why is that there? Or I'm mowing the lawn. I go, what? I don't want those thoughts in my head. I don't want that image in my head. But it was just there as this power. And it would just show up at the most random times. Like the enemy is just trying to say, I got you. I still got you. It wasn't like I was cultivating it or trying to feed my flesh or anything. It was just, boom, there. Stop it. From that day in 2002, when I walked through this to this day, that has never happened again. I broke some kind of bond. That first exposure, and whatever the chemicals are that God designs for the physical relationship to be a bonding agent, that was a part of my psyche, and the enemy had a chance to use it against me. And I'm so grateful for this tool. again, please do not hear, if you have physical challenges or anything else, that it's all demonic or spirit. There may be areas, there may be not. I believe in good nutrition. I believe in all kinds of good, healthy choices we can make. But at the end of the day, please at least consider that the enemy may have something that you could, a weapon that you could take out of his hand if you would just give attention to it and turn it back over to the Lord and give the Lord authority in that area again. Because at some point, and that's what I did, I granted the enemy. And when I get angry, I grant the enemy that root, that bitterness, that stronghold. And that's what we'd love for you to consider. Again, on the website, where'd that go? Just on the resources page, Steps to Freedom. You may enjoy just ordering one. We used to have some. We may order a few more paper copies, but it's pretty accessible right now this way. So love to, if you have questions about it or you have other things you need to follow up on before you make that decision, really encourage you going through it with a friend just to pray with you as you walk through it. That can be really helpful to keep going with courage. Some of you may have things that are really dark and difficult. I don't know your history. That it would be really helpful to have someone support you through that. Now, Cindy's when she walked through this, I don't know what it is about Catholic elementary schools, but they're very superstitious and spiritual. But they would do all kinds of creepy, weird things. And it was just so helpful for her to walk through and just break some of these little child's games that were really dark. And they're really demonic in source or potential. And now she can't even watch a scary movie. She's just like, I don't want anything to do it. So love for you guys to consider that and just see this as one of those swords of truth that you could break some of those bonds. If you have any questions, you can reach out and ask. So let me pray. Lord, we are grateful for all the tools you give us to help us to flourish. Thank you. You've given us all that we need for godliness and life. And we just want to honor you. God, I just tell you, I don't want any part of my life, any part of my mind, any part of my psyche, any part of my heart to be given over to anything, either actively choosing another affection or idol, or by accident because of the consequence of foolish behavior. I don't want anything to hinder your access to me or my access to the power of God. Protect us from the evil one. Help us to be alert. In Jesus' name, amen.